And that is so true. Christ is all we need. I understand the folks online didn't have sound there for a little while, and I hope they were able to hear the prayer request. If not, we apologize for that. Brother Chris has got that fixed. We had some problems with the choir mics. They are now working, and he did come in and reset everything, but he saved it first, Brother Chris. So I hope you didn't lose anything tonight. So he saved all of that. And so anyway, we appreciate Brother Tom Rizzo. He's a good sound man. He loves the Lord, and he takes that as a ministry. And so he got our choir mics working today, and we're thankful for that. And praise the Lord. How many of you have watched it online the last few weeks and you haven't been able to hear the sound back there? It's because they've not been working. So they're working now. We got it all pushing forward. Would you open your precious Bible this evening to the book of Proverbs? And we're going to try to do our very best to finish up tonight. We have a couple special things tonight. First of all, I see the Morning Stars back there with a brand new church member. Amen. And so, praise the Lord, little Teddy's here and Mama's here. How's everybody doing, Mama? You doing well? Good. And like being a mama? Nothing like it, is there? And we just had a dear friend, Pastor Altizer, his granddaughter, had a baby today. Actually, it was last night. And bless her heart, she was in labor for hours, days. And she wanted to try to, you know, have the baby natural, and come to find out, there's no way she's going to have that little fella. She was 10 pounds and 10 ounces. And so she had to have a C-section. So you pray for Hannah Altizer. This is Pastor Altizer. This is Kevin Altizer's daughter, Hannah. And of course, we love and know Brother Kevin and Missy. So you pray for Hannah. They have a brand new baby, too. And so good to see the Morning Stars here with little Teddy. And praise the Lord. It's good to see young families in church. Amen. And then also, we have another special in the invitation tonight. And I won't steal any of the thunder. We'll let that take place tonight. But when I close to pray, we're going to have we're going to have a special announcement tonight. All right. Proverbs chapter 24. Let's look at verse 17. And as you know, we've been preaching through the book of Proverbs, just trying to hit a principle or two in each chapter. And we've been talking about expectations, a spouse's expectation, or if someone's not married, they are looking for a life's mate, prayed about who God would direct in their life. There should be certain things that should be some, you know, parameters in someone's life. These are expectations or what to look for in a life's mate, and we find these principles from the Word of God. And so, twofold in the application. If you're married, then you ought to be asking God to help you to be this kind of person. If you're not married, you ought to be praying that, hey, I want to be this kind of person, but I also want to find someone that could possibly have these qualifications, these principles. And then if you're married and you have children, you better be taking notes on these things, because you can help your children when they get older. And you can give them some wise counsel from the Word of God. And that's where we ought to take our counsel from. I will say this again. The second most important decision of your life is who you marry. There's no doubt about it. First greatest decision you make is getting saved, and all God's people say it. Amen. And I truly believe the second greatest decision you'll make is who you choose to spend your life with and to do God's work with. And it's a beautiful thing. I didn't say it was an easy thing, but it's a beautiful thing when you love like God loves, and that's a love that you will not and you do not want to let each other go. And God will aid you and help you in that. But let's look at some things. Proverbs 24, verse 17. The Bible says, look at verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Now, this is an interesting principle, but I wanted to bring it out and just emphasize it, because this is a kind of a different place to start. But I want to tell you, I believe looking through the years and just being in the Christian life, knowing the Lord, here's something that we ought to be very careful of. We better be very careful never to rejoice over the troubles of others. Never should we rejoice over the troubles of others. I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, you're going to have to be divinely aided here. Especially if somebody's hurt you. Especially if someone is what you would consider an enemy. The Bible says it goes a step farther. He said, you should not rejoice when even your own enemy falleth. God help us. Now listen, I'll never do that without the aid of God. Can it be done? Listen to me. Yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be done. And it should be done in the hearts of Christians. We should never rejoice. I always get worried about somebody that gets more happy to hear bad news than good news. And there's people like that. Boy, they'd rather relish in the bad news. They'd rather relish. Boy, give me that. Give me that. I want to hear that. You ought to be careful of people like that. You ought to be the kind of person you're relishing in the good news. Don't tell me nothing bad. I just want to hear the good stuff. See, someone's always relishing in someone. I'll tell you right now, they got what they deserve. You don't know that. I don't know that. We better be very careful. The Bible says we should not rejoice when thine enemy falleth. It's not even talking about somebody that just hurts you. And by the way, there's very few people that have real strong enemies. Usually if someone hurts us, maybe they've done it out of anger, but most of the time when we get hurt or something's done to us, it's been done not even on purpose. And boy, we're ready to get after them. Here's what we say. Well, I'll tell you right now, they're going to get theirs. Vengeance should not be something we're after. And if someone was dating someone and they just always was excited because somebody else was going through something, and here's what they say. Well, I'll tell you right now, it deserves it. You don't know if that's what they deserved or not. The disciples said the same thing. Lord, why is he sick? Is it because of sin of him or his father's? And the Lord looked at both of the disciples and rebuked them and said, neither. That just goes to show you how we think. We think if something bad happens to somebody, it's because they've done something wrong or they deserve it. It's not always true. It's not always true. And by the way, we're not God, so we be very careful. I don't ever try to motivate people by fear. Well, I'll tell you right now, you better do it because if you don't, no. Why don't we do it because we love God? Why we always got to? Well, I'll tell you right now, you better not. I'm going to tell your mom and dad. Well, more important than saying you better not do it because your mom and dad. The mom and dad's not the reason. God knows. God's the goal, not mom and dad. Because by the way, when they get away from mom and dad, the goal's gone. The goal's gone. You've set the goal too low. Well, just mom and dad. No, it's God. We should do it because God loves us, and because He loves us, we love Him back. So why should we not relish or be joyful or be rejoicing in someone that has gotten us and they get it back? We should never feel. Why? Because God tells us not to. Now listen to me. I can speak about this in a lot of personal instances. I can promise you. I'm going to tell you right now, being in the ministry is not for the faint of heart. I'm going to tell y'all right now, you've never seen anybody go from hero to zero until you get in the ministry. Can I get a witness? These pastors know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's people, and I'm just going to be honest, I was on the phone with somebody today, and I'm going to be honest, it wasn't even me. He was saying it to me. He says, I get scared. He said, I can't imagine that there's people out there that's trying to do something or to hurt the work of God. He said, that is a dangerous line to cross. I agree. I think it's very dangerous when someone tries to destroy a ministry or talk about a church or do things that could be detrimental to a church. Because here's the thing, we don't know everything, but I'm going to tell you right now, we know this. None of us are perfect, but we have a perfect Savior. And wise means we're not relishing when someone else is getting hurt. And by the way, you say, Pastor, do you have the desire for vengeance? Look at me. We all do. We all do. That's why I tell people, if you can't control your Facebook, get off of it. Get off of it. That's no place to exact vengeance on people. I mean, every once in a while, someone will get on there from a church and they'll pop off and start trying to get a better of somebody that's hurt them. And look at me. God says, don't relish in that. Listen, it says, rejoice not when thine own enemy falleth, or if they stumbleth. I'm going to be honest, there was a social media post probably a couple years ago, and it was about our family. And I read it. And here's what I thought, and I know this is going to sound super spiritual to you, but I'm just being honest, this is exactly what I thought. Basically, the post was, well, God knows, and you're not supposed to just bow down because somebody has a position, or they have a place, or, you know, you don't supposed to just bow down to people because they have a position. In other words, someone that's in leadership, you're not supposed to just bow down to that. But he said, this is what this person said. God sets them up, but God will bring them down. And do you know what I read in that? I read, this person would have been perfectly fine if he would have brought my family down. You say, oh, Pastor, was the first instance you had was, man, you want to get at it? No, can I really be honest with you how I felt about that? Really, the way I felt about that is, I knew what the problem was. I knew who the problem was. And I felt in that whole situation, we were victims in that problem. But here's what I said. I know who's right and who's wrong. And here's what. Even the person that wrote that text, here's what I thought. I don't want God to bring them down. I want God to work in their heart. Now you say, Pastor, have you always acted that way? No. But I'm asking God to help me to follow this principle. I shouldn't be relishing someone when they stumble, when they fall. Life's better than that, bigger than that. We know if someone falls, if someone gets hurt, if someone does wrong, listen to me, that hurts more people than your enemy. And with spiritual mindset, we certainly are not going to relish if someone's done something to us, if they fall. And do you know it could hurt their grandchildren, their children? It could hurt a community. It could have long-lasting sin that takes place there. We should never relish even when our enemies fall. So you watch out for that. Never rejoice over the troubles of others. We ought to be praying for people. We ought to be thankful and asking God to work on God's behalf in their lives. Oh, I know. The first instinct is, I tell you right now, I'm going to get back at them. No, God says don't rejoice in that. And don't sit back in our little quiet thing. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's good. I'm glad that happened to them. They deserved it. We really don't know if they deserved it or not. So we need to be careful. I think this is something to pay attention to in our lives. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Chapter 25, verse 19. The Bible says this, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Whew. I don't know, my foot wasn't out of joint, but it certainly hurt. My poor sister, she's limping around. She's got a torn meniscus twice. I shared that with y'all earlier tonight. Got a joint, a stress fracture. I know her. She's doing the best she can, but I'll guarantee you right now, she's frustrated. And when we have things that's just simply not working right, what happens? This is what the Bible says here. Now notice, it says confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Y'all ever had a foot out of joint? You can't use it. It's frustrating. It's not worthy. I mean, you can't. It's not stable. It's not something you can depend on. And so it's frustrating. Same with a tooth. Man, there's probably two of the worst pains in a body is a backache, something going on with your back, and a tooth. And God says an unfaithful person is that's what he liked. What a metaphor. What a teaching tool here. What a teaching lesson. He says, look, if you're unfaithful, you're like a broken tooth or a foot that don't work half the time. So here's the key. We should be faithful. If we're looking for a life's mate or if we're going to be the right kind of spouse, we ought to be faithful. Faithful. This up and down stuff and in and out and over here, back here, and over here, that up. You got to be faithful. It says confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. You can't depend on him. So consistency, faithfulness is so much of a beautiful character in God's people to be faithful. You say, Pastor, I can't be much. Well, maybe not, but you can be faithful. From the smallest child to the oldest adult, that doesn't require any talent. Just be there. Be counted for. If one thing is, let me just say this, and you run into people like this from time to time. If there's one thing consistent in their life and it's inconsistency, you got trouble. If there's only one consistency in that person's life and it's inconsistency, you got trouble. Now, let me ask you this, does your word count? Here's what it means too, of being faithful. All right, let's say that someone keeps telling us all the time, they're going to do this, 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 and they're going to do this. And after a while, you keep waiting on that person to do that, and it never happens. Guess what? You don't even depend on that foot anymore. You just go another direction. If someone comes up to you, and you've heard that 40 times, and you're like, oh, okay. It starts to go through one ear and out the other. Why? Because you know that those are just words. See, God says an unfaithful person, you can't have any confidence in them. Think about this. Does your word mean something? Does my word mean something? That is powerful. That's powerful. Powerful. Faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful in our responsibilities. Faithful to work. Faithful to whatever the responsibilities we have. You say, well, Pastor, that's not that big of a deal. It's a huge deal. Faithful. The stick-to-itiveness. Faithful. It says it's faithful. Notice that's God's principle, is confidence in an unfaithful man. Y'all want people to have confidence in you. I want people to have confidence in me. Now, we are human and we're going to make mistakes, but we can work at it. Being faithful. All right, here's another one. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Here's what the Bible says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, boy, the Bible just opens up a realm of knowledge. I'm not trying to be ugly or just be blunt or funny, but it can't. When you read this verse, when you think about Bible days, Brother Larry and Brother Mark, when you think about a city, walls were pretty important. Boundaries were pretty important. Why? The Bible says if you didn't have walls in a city, you were absolutely fools because you had no protection. So let me just say, based on God's word, a country's safety depends on boundaries. Amen. That's just a given. It got quiet in here. But I mean, that's Bible for you right there. I mean, let's just read it again because I felt like I got a kink right there. I felt like there was a little kink. And I'm only preaching Bible to you, but we can apply God's Word to everything in life. He says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so in Bible days, walls was your protection. Walls was keeping people out that shouldn't be there. Walls was protecting their children. Walls was protecting their all of their food and all of the things that they owned that were theirs. And so God said, if you don't have any walls, you have no protection. Now, what is he liken that to? Here's the word. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. Now, what's that word, his own spirit, mean? Y'all ready? This is it. Simple. Attitude. When someone just can't control their... You ever heard somebody say, well, I just tell you right now, I just say it if I mean it. I tell you what, if I think it, I just say it. Red flag. Red flag. Red flag. You got to control your attitude. Well, I tell you right now, it's just the way I feel, so I'm going to let everybody know about it. Well, red flag. What's the Bible say about that? A person that can't control their spirit is like a city with no walls. Listen to me. You're vulnerable. You're weak. It's bad. In Bible days, walls was the protection. The stability of a city, our attitude, our spirit, our confidence in the Lord, the way we handle the struggles and the troubles of life, the way we respond to things are so important. And with faith in God, we ought to have a stability there that we're not always blowed off track. You ever get around people and they're, oh my goodness, the world's caving in, the sky's falling, everything. And I'm sitting there going, dear God, if they had half of what I was dealing with, they wouldn't say that. It ain't falling down, you're just dealing with life. And it comes to all of us. But here, listen to me, praise God. He's there to help us in a time of trouble. And have I ever lost my cool? Look at me. Yes. Have you ever lost your cool? Yes. But I want you to know something. I don't desire to always be like that. I want God to help control me, sustain me, stabilize me. Amen. I think the only time I get tore up is when I'm preaching. But see, that's all right. Right? You've got to stay under control unless you're preaching. Amen. Heralding forth the Word of God. Hey, it's faithful. Hey, stays under control. That's the principle. Stays under control. That's the principle. Again, a consistency there. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we ought to be able to stay under control. That doesn't mean you're not going to get upset. That doesn't mean you're not going to have your times. But I'm talking consistently. We should be under control. We should have control over our attitudes because God's helping us. And our faith is in Him, not in the circumstances. Here's another one. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Now this is a beautiful picture because we all know you can't burn wood. You can't have a fire unless you have wood. You can't have fire unless you have a spark. So where no wood is, there's no fire goes out. That's a beautiful thing. So if it's not being kindled, if it's not being flamed up, if it's not being fired up, if it's not keep being fed, then that fire is going to go out. And it's the same with someone that doesn't know how to be quiet. If someone doesn't know how to be quiet, here's the principle, should know when to be quiet. In other words, the Bible says, so where there is no a talebearer, where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. Now let's just be honest. I'm going to see how well you are listening tonight and just see how well you're going to be honest tonight. How many of you are kind of the type of person you just got to have the last word? Okay, let's get some hands here because I know some of you lying right here in church. I know there's more than that, but that's all right. Some of you ain't you're not bold enough to raise your hand, and that's perfectly okay. God knows. But I have to get the last word a lot of times. But you know what? Shame on me. Because the Bible says where no wood is, there's the fire goeth out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife seeth. In other words, slow to speak. Wise when to speak. When do we need to keep turning and churning it up? And when do we need to be quiet? What battle do we really need to fight and what battle do we need to be quiet on and trust God in instead of trying to stir it up ourselves? Always has to have the last word or always got to prove their point or always got to say, well, I told you, or whatever it is. The thing's done got smoothed down, it's done got quiet, and next thing that we just can't let it go, so we just keep on, and what do? We throw some more fire on that wood. Knows when to be quiet. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, so where there is no talebearer. And by the way, we know gossip, talebearing, all of that good stuff, all that does is just cause up a bunch of trouble. I'm going to close with this one. Look at Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here's the principle. You live life by the day. They just live life by the day. In other words, you're trusting God for today. Do you know what gets most of us in trouble? We're not living for today. We're worried about tomorrow. We're before it ever happened, we're already fretting about something that we ain't even. God says don't even do that for the next day. We got to live for the day. You say, well, Pastor, why is that so important? Here's why. You could be right there in a home with someone and they never enjoy the moment they're in. You can miss the moment you're in. And by the way, that makes for a tough relationship. Years ago, and I got to close. Years ago, we were at a marriage retreat. Wasn't ours. We was at Crown's. There was a young couple there that had not been married long. And my wife was not even talking to them. She was talking to another couple. And they started to talk. And the couples that was asking my wife questions. And my wife looked at this lady. She says, no. She said, I did not dread every stage of our children's lives. She said, I tried to enjoy every stage. Well, when she said that, the lady that was walking by stopped and started listening to her. And my wife just started saying, you know, if you're not careful, you know, you're always going to want, okay, you want the teenage, you know, you're out of the toddlers and you're out of the terrible twos. Then the next thing you know, you're in preschool. Like, man, they're going to get better when they get in grade school. Then you're looking for them to get to a certain place. He said, and pretty soon you've lost your whole childhood and you've missed out on every moment of life. And she said, don't do that. She said, enjoy every stage of your family's life. And this woman called my wife over later and talked to her. She said, I want you to know something. She said, I've never heard anybody say that. She said, anybody ever heard about parents talk about their children at that age? Everybody says, I'll tell you right now, I just can't wait till they get out of them terrible twos. I just can't wait till they get out of that, you know, stage of this, or now we got a teenager. And she said, I just want you to know, I've never forgotten that. She said, I listened to you that day. And she said, my husband and I are going to try to enjoy every stage of our life. Don't let it go by. By the way, I don't know if I told you this, Miss Laura, but at the hospital the other night, we went up and prayed with Eric and Kelly and Bailey in the room. And what do you say to a family and a couple and their girl not able to walk? What do you say? And we're knowing they're getting ready to get packed up and go to Atlanta and have to live down there for several months. And my wife looked at all three of them. She said, I'm going to tell y'all something. She said, y'all are going to have some precious times in these next few months. She said, you better cherish every minute of it. Eric called me this morning and he was talking to me. He said, I just want you to know. He said, you tell your wife. I heard her said that in that hospital room that night. And he said, oh, I want you to know we've had some of the most precious times together. He said, I had to come home last night to get a few things together. And here's what he said. He said, and what thrilled my heart? And he started crying, telling me, I'm about to cry telling it. He said, Kelly and Bailey called me and said, Daddy, we miss you. Won't you hurry up and get back? You trust God for today. You let Him sort out tomorrow. Enjoy the moment. Amen. We've spent so much time wasting our day worried about what's going to happen or not going to happen tomorrow. God gives you today. Let's trust Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Mr. Vince and I talked before church. This is Mr. Vince Fernandez. And I'm going to come down here with you. Brother Chris, help me here. I'm going to get down on the floor with him. I don't really have anybody come up here and stand with him. And I hate for him to stand up here by himself. This is Vince. Vince and his dear wife, they joined our church several months ago. And on January the 19th, the Lord Jesus Christ convicted Vince Fernandez that he was not saved. And I've tried to be very careful. Because I'll be honest with you, church. First time in my life in my ministry, someone that did not know they were saved or said they were saved and the Holy Spirit worked in their life and got saved. And I appreciate his boldness. I appreciate his honesty. And I know we don't have to get approval from his wife, but I even asked her, I said, what do you think about this? She said, I think he got saved because he's definitely a changed man. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, there's a change that accompanies it. And there's the Holy Spirit of God that accompanies it that convicts you. And you was under conviction, wasn't you? And so that night, late, he asked Jesus to save him. He turned his life over to the Lord. And I'm very thankful for his testimony. And he's going to get baptized on Easter morning. What better day than on Resurrection Sunday? Amen. So, Vince, I'm going to have you go to the back, and they're going to shake your hand, give you a hug. We love you and appreciate you. And we know God's been working in his heart, and he's been sensitive, and we're thankful for it. So, let me just say to every man in this building, you should never be ashamed for standing for Jesus. Amen. Ever. That's what's wrong with our country today. We don't have men standing like they should. And we ought to ask God to help us and put it in our hearts to be bold for Him. And I'm thankful for His honesty. and that he was overcome by the Spirit of God. And I thank God. I'm going to be honored to baptize him, and I believe he's a new man. Amen? Amen. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit conviction that accompanies salvation. And so I thank God for that. So let's pray tonight. Let's ask God's blessing on all of us getting home tonight. Please be in your place on Sunday. We're looking for a great day. I can't share everything, but church, the Lord's working in people's hearts. I believe this is the first to come. I really do. And so I want you to be in a spirit of prayer, and let's ask God. There's big things happening in people's hearts. And that's what it's all about. And sometimes we can't see it, but it's happening and it's coming. So I want you to trust the Lord in it. All right? And let's be much in prayer and be sensitive to it. Let's get these door knockers out too. Make sure you sign up back there on one of those sheets of paper. Heavenly Father, we do ask you now tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit conviction. Thank you for drawing us unto you. I pray that you'll continue to work in the hearts of people. Lord, I pray you'll help all of us to be sensitive to you, and that we'll obey you, and that we'll surrender to you. And Lord, we'll be encouraged by you loving us enough to not let us go. Now, I pray you'll give all of us wisdom and help us this week as we try to serve you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And all.